And got a very special show for you today. Thanks for tuning in. We have Arthur Bond and Dan Gersicato from... No, I just got a head shake. I got that wrong. Gersicato, I'm sorry. Yes. Awesome. I knew it. It was just a little tongue. So we have Arthur and Dan from History and Civilization of the Great Black Swamp, who have a new album called Tom Stilinski. We have them here in the studio. Arthur and Dan, thank you so much for coming down today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No problem.
All right, so do you want to get people up to speed about the band?
Yeah, so the band is the two of us, kind of a recording project. We're studio musicians primarily, and the album, as you said, is called Tom Stilinski, and it's sort of a synth pop opera, you might say, kind of a tongue-in-cheek horror story.
Yeah.
About this young boy named Tom Stilinski and his adventures with a
trials and
tribulations with a kind of Lovecraftian cult, who abduct him and have big plans for him.
Yeah. So where did you get the name Tom Stilinski for this character?
Tom Stilinski is actually a real person. He's one of our friends and the singer of a band that we were both in. About a year ago, and after the band
dissolved,
we kind of took it upon ourselves to keep making music in secret from Tom, and finally, just recently, when the album was finished, we shared it with him.
Yeah,
and it was a big surprise.
It's kind of a tribute or an extrapolation of Whiskers, the band, and like the mythology that surrounded it,
but
done in a quite a different way.
Yeah, if I remember correctly from when Whiskers played this show about a year ago, I remember Tom talking about, I don't know how serious he was, but he was saying that most of the Whiskers songs were like based on this one guy that he had.
Right,
met.
Yeah.
So when you say, like, this album is an extrapolation of the Whiskers mythology, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it was definitely, that was, I didn't write the lyrics, but I thought that's where Arthur was going with that.
Okay. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy in question is named George Slyer.
Okay.
Yep, and so...
He's a character on this album.
On the new album, he's a character. We're taking, like, people that Tom wrote about in his music, inside jokes from the band, sort of melodic ideas from the Whiskers songs, kind of taking those, putting in some new stuff as well, and just mixing it all up in the big weird melting pot.
Yeah.
it revived an old project that we had done. We did have another album by this band, which was done like 2006, I think. So it was a long time coming to like kind of reconvene and do something under this band name again, the Great Black Swamp. So it's quite a difference in many qualities. Songwriting style, recording technique, it's quite a leap from that old album.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I can't listen to that old one anymore. But it's also a pretty different from our other recent projects.
Yeah,
too.
Definitely.
Yeah, because when you say you haven't recorded under this name for 6 years, people shouldn't get the impression that the two of you haven't been making music together for 6 years.
We have just a lot of bands.
Where did the name for the band come from?
It came from a fake bookshelf that I saw in Big Lots, where it's like they're selling a bookshelf and they have cardboard books, which is just a box with pictures of books on it.
Yeah.
And all the titles were weird. And like some of them were takes on actual books, but most of them were just strange. And that was the title of a book, The History and Civilization of the Great Black Swamp. And I wrote it down just because it was great and it's wordy.
Right,
I like the verbose band name. Most of our band names are pretty short.
Right.
Yeah, and Dan told me that he'd seen that, and I was like, yeah, that's gonna be our name.
that's a great story.
I think in a way, does the name kind of, did that ever inform how, like, you approached the lyrics? Because the first album has has kind of a swampy, murderous, dark feel to it too.
Right. Water. Yeah. Coming in to do the second album with this name, I definitely started to think even more concretely in terms of, like, these are songs about characters and situations from this place called the Great Black Swamp, mm-hmm. which was, I guess, a real place in history, but it's become kind of fictionalized and sort of a fantasy realm, which is kind of similar to ours, but it also has things like elder gods and, you know, cults and, monsters and stuff, so,
Nice. And a lot of the bands that we've been talking about are on the label Awkward Core Records. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, that's a record label that Dan and me and our friend April founded several years ago. And we have many projects that have put out albums on that label. And we also have various other bands on there as well. So last year we put out a compilation with a whole bunch of Rochester local artists and our own bands and national bands that we like Deerhoof and other semi big names.
Music tapes.
Music tapes.
SoCal is on that, right?
SoCal, from Ireland.
Yep.
Awesome.
So, we have got a website, www.awkwardcore.com, you can listen to all our stuff for free on there.
Awesome. Well, why don't we take a listen to a song off Tom Stolinsky? And the song we're going to hear is the first song, Matchbox. Do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, it sets the stage sort of for the album and introduces the majority of the characters and kind of gets things off to a good start. Besides the two of us, it also has Alexander Boggs, a local musician on banjo. And Tim Avery on trumpet.
Awesome.
So,
So, I mean, you say it sets the stage and brings in the characters. Sometimes, bands call something like it's a rock opera, but it's just kind of a thematic collection of songs. This actually has a plot, a beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
And so we're going to hear the beginning and hear from History and Civilization of the Great Black Swamp. From their new album, Tom Stolinsky, we're going to hear the first song, Matchbox.
The thing about a camera is what it wants to know. It's never satisfied by all the things within its glow. Just ask the store attendant near the coffee house downtown.
That rascal Tom Stolinsky took a snapshot of my frown. Say,
That was History and Civilization of the Great Black Swamp with the song Matchbox from their new album called Tom Stilinski. We have Arthur and Dan from the band here in the studio. And we also have the real Tom Stilinski on the line with us now. Tom, can you hear us?
Am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Oh, my goodness.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Such a magical time.
So, a question I wanted to ask that I think you answered last time we talked is that you always had this in mind that Tom was going to be the main character of this.
Oh, of course, yes. Yeah, I don't know where the idea first struck me.
Was it Brett's dream?
Yeah, I think it had something to do with that. So we've got this, you know, message board on the internet where we talk to our various musician friends, which is very dorky, but one of our friends, Brett, had this dream where he was in a bookstore and he came across this novel that Tom, our friend, had written, and the cover was completely black except for the words Tom Stilinski in red.
Yeah.
No title or anything. And I was very struck by that, and I really felt that this needed to be a physical object with content. And, you know, it didn't end up being a novel, of course, but the cover art for this album was very inspired by that dream.
Sure.
And as soon as we decided that it was going to be named Tom Stilinski, we knew that we could not tell Tom, the real Tom, until it was complete.
Until it was too late.
Yeah.
So, Tom, how did you find out that this album had been recorded? How did they spring it on you?
I arrived home and opened my mailbox, and there was a, you know, yellow CD-sized envelope from Awkward Core Records.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, well, they're sending me something. I must have forgotten. Maybe it's, I did not think it was going to be a record called Tom Stilinski. And I opened it and was confused for a couple of days. But I didn't have any way of playing the CD in my house. My laptop doesn't have the CD thing.
Okay.
And I didn't have a CD player, so I needed to wait, like, over the weekend, I think, to get to work and have access to that. And I listened to it, like, 5 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It's definitely the best thing that Dan and Arthur have done. And I don't know how biased I am, obviously, but it reminded me of The Drum's Not Dead by The Liars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a really good reason why, but maybe it's just that, you know, it's solid and it sort of tells a story. But this is a story that's probably the most understandable in you know, rock opera.
Yeah, as I was saying before, it definitely has like a plot that is suspenseful and resolves itself, has a climax, has a beginning, middle, and end. What did you think of the characterization of the fictional 10-year-old Tom?
It didn't sink in for a couple of listens that it was a parody of my style of writing lyrics. Like, you guys.
Gotcha.
But it's I like it. I mean, it's what I do. I can't not like it when it's, you know, coming in my direction.
Mm.
Right.
Arthur, you have very specific elements of Tom's character in the album, like the way he enjoys his milkshakes. Is that is that based on fact?
Not to my knowledge.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, Tom, do you love milkshakes?
I do. But I do. Yeah, of course.
It's not like a defining trait.
There's a reference to fish sticks.
Yeah.
I have never and probably will never eat fish sticks.
Okay,
that's a good choice.
Yeah, my days of eating fish sticks are long past as well. How about when faced with danger, would you rather be chewing gum or not?
I'd also not a big gum chewer.
So, Tom, you're not the only real person on this album. As you said before, George is a real person.
And Marty.
And right. So Marty, too. Okay. Are you in touch with them? Do they know that this thing exists?
I see Marty Gordon maybe twice a year. He comes into the studio I work in always wearing a Deerstalker cap. not wearing it well.
Mm.
And is very confused and always forgets that I remember his name. why I remember his name, because I'd seen him maybe, 10 times over the course of 3 or 4 years.
And who is the actual Marty?
I have not been in contact with George ever, okay. Other than one day.
That one encounter, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is the real Marty?
Marty Gordon was a doctor. He worked at Yale for a long time.
Mm.
In what capacity, I don't know. I just recently got Marty Gordon's business card, and it is insane. It's filled with, 4-point font. There, you can't see any of the white. It's all the text. He has, 7 different titles, and all of them take up several lines. It's hilarious. I'll try to find it and post it on that darn internet.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Awesome.
Good.
Can you tell us about George? I remember you spoke about it when you were on my show last year, but just to remind people who forgot about that or people who didn't hear it in the first place.
I went to this coffee shop in Troy, New York.
Yeah.
I ordered my coffee, and there was the person behind the counter said, "Do you want to read these history books?" And I said, okay. And there were 2 500-page handwritten copies of almost impossible to understand history text.
Yeah.
And I was reading it for maybe a minute or two, and then this guy sat down next to me, and his name was George, and he talked to me for about half an hour about his incredibly incorrect view of history. But he had so much passion for it, and he was totally not joking.
Yeah.
And then he sort of left, walked away into the fog, and I have a soft spot for sort of lonely, elderly men, and he was a particularly sharp nail in that soft spot. So I had to sort of create these stories, I guess through lyrics, to give his life a happy ending.
Yeah.
And then, when it came time to do this new album, I knew that as a large figure in Whiskers mythology, that George needed to be a sort of a part of this story. And so within this new sort of lens of looking at it, in the Great Black Swamp world, George has become, instead of the author of 2 volumes of world history, he's now the author of the titular history and civilization of the Great Black Swamp. Mm-hmm. So he's sort of a local historian who then also has a lot of sort of secret knowledge of this cult in the story. That was sort of a natural fit for the character. And Marty, on the other hand, all I know about Marty, the real Marty, is that he enjoys roller coasters. So his role in the story is a little bit more abstract, but he and George are friends, and they both sort of are overseeing. They're kind of like Tom's sort of distant guardians, and they sort of know that he's going to play a big role in world affairs, but they're not sure how exactly.
Right.
But they're trying to sort of guide him in the right direction.
We've been talking a lot about Marty and George. Do you want to hear the song, Marty and George?
That sounds good.
We'll talk some more about the album. All right, so this is History and Civilization, the Great Black Swamp, from their new album, Tom Stilinski. This is Marty and George.
To see how we could be responsible. Marty! things this time. My dear George, I'd gladly listen, but I fear that we are only
hogs in the sheets, cigarette stains, ancestral ghosts haunting my face. Washed up authors, kids with ray guns, two old men who still suck on their thumbs. The way you go, we're on a road that's there between our toes, and nobody knows where it will lead us. Oh, Tom Stilinski knows I have made it so.
Was History and Civilization of the Great Black Swamp here on WITR. With the song Marty and George, we have Arthur and Dan from Great Black Swamp here in the studio, and we have Tom Stilinski, the titular character of their new album, on the phone. So we've talked about Marty and George. There's also a cult in the story of this album who worship Adam Sandler toaster ovens. You want to talk about how that kind of came about?
Sure. Well, that's a good question, actually, because really I knew that the album was going to be kind of a cult in nature and having kind of a dark Lovecraftian story, but it wasn't until I sat down to do an early version of the cover art that the name of their sort of elder god came about. And I was just doing this kind of occult symbol, and I needed to fill in some text to sort of make it more intricate. And Adam Sandler toaster ovens was the first thing that popped in my head. Huh. And it stuck. I like that. So anyway, that's the name of the elder god that they worship.
Yeah.
I like that it's almost like so ridiculous that it crosses over into possibly terrifying. That's
true. It's hard to it's a hard concept to get your head around and becomes sort of frightening in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're, I guess they're a cult that's sort of laying dormant in this world for a while, but now they've got this prophecy that's about to come to pass, and so they've started up again, and they're looking for sort of sacrificial subjects, and the text that they follow is called the Red Book of Black, and that contains their prophecies, and Tom Stilinski gets a hold of a copy of that early in the story, and that's sort of. He thinks that his destiny is to become like sort of the savior of the world or something, but little does he know that fate has a little bit more darker things in mind for him. I don't know, what else can I say about the cult? Oh, they their sort of headquarters is the Soothington Yacht Club, which is the sort of mansion by the shore of the swamp. But they don't do much yachting there. They just do a lot of sort of satanic rituals.
So we've talked about Lovecraft a few times in this interview, and when we were talking before the show, was he a writer that has been important, or is important to you, has been important to you in the past?
Sure, yeah. I haven't read like all of his stuff, but I definitely admire his writing and his sort of style of horror, that sort of cosmic horror that... you know, things so beyond your comprehension that are just they break your mind or whatever.
Yeah. And a writer with a long tradition of rock bands writing about them, from
sure.
Black Sabbath and Blue Oyster Cult, The Fall, the mm-hmm. Vaseline's yeah. of all bands have a song called Lovecraft.
Sure.
Metallica.
Yeah. Thank you. Right.
I'd like to point out that Adam Sandler toaster ovens is female.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Right.
It's important.
Yes, she is.
Tom, is Lovecraft someone that has been important to you as well?
Not really. I am... The thing that I'm most fascinated with is his sort of... his collection of these sort of D&D monsters.
Mm-hmm. Right,
I like reading that list on Wikipedia. That's right. As far as I get.
It's like an appealing mythology, regardless of his writing. Like, I've read a few stories, but it's like he's created a world for people to play with. So
it's far more interesting than Tolkien's world. Mm.
I would agree, yeah.
So... Arthur, you sing as a lot of different characters on this album. Mm. Did you work to find a voice for them, or did
it comes naturally to him? He's full of voices.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of that is sort of my Muppet inspiration coming to bear. But I mean, I guess one thing I can say is that there was kind of a push and pull on the album where I wanted each character to have their own voice. But I also wanted to have the voices work musically together. So there were some songs where I sort of forewent the voices in favor of just sounding better. But there were some characters like George where, you know, he has like this deep, gruff, sort of Dr. Teeth voice.
Right.
And that's pretty important. So, different characters, I guess, had... more characterization than others, but it was definitely fun to work on that.
I like your Tom Stilinski voice the best.
Right.
And you also wrote most of the lyrics, Arthur, and most of the lyrics are kind of in like rhyming couplets almost. Was that the approach you always had in mind, that it was going to be really driven by rhyme?
Yeah, I tend to write in rhyme most of the time. on top of that, I guess the lyrics have this sort of almost like children's book feeling to them, which is, I guess, just sort of my natural mode of writing. I don't like to get too wordy or complicated, but I like that kind of dichotomy of the sort of the simple lyrics and the rhyming versus these sort of dark subjects, and it helps it stay away from being like too pretentious, I hope.
I think it's fun in a way. It's a fun game to see where a rhyme is going to end up, right?
Yeah.
It makes it fun for the audience, and in my experience, it's been fun to write as well that way.
Yeah, it really helps a song. It helps when you're writing a song, because rather than thinking like, oh, what should I say next to progress the story, it's like, oh, how do I finish this rhyme? Mm-hmm. And sometimes thinking about the various words that you could use, it helps you, you know, get to the next minute, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. You've mentioned a few guests who were on the album, Tim Avery, mm-hmm. Alexander Boggs. There's a few others you want to mention?
Yeah, there's a number of you know, local Rochester musicians who are friends of ours, and those include David Stith, who is a solo musician on the Asthmatic Kitty label, mm-hmm. and let's see, who else? So Phil Herford did some beautiful violin for the album. Yeah. Ian Downey did some cello. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. Oh, April, our friend, sang some lyrics on a song. Mm-hmm. And
Fred did some vocals.
Right, yeah. So in addition to the Rochester musicians, we also have some ex-members of our Whiskers band. So those include Brett Mattox, who you heard on Marty and George a minute ago. And Carp, whose real name is Matt Vucicevic. Yep. He did some synthesizer work on some of the songs. That's everybody I can think of right now.
Yeah, a lot.
It was fun.
Nice. What can people expect for the rest of 2012 from Awkward Chord? Do you have anything else in the works that people can look forward to?
I'm pretty sure they're the new Dirtman mini album or EP will be finished before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what form it'll take, but...
And Dirtman is also the two of you with Dan kind of taking the lead?
Yeah, yep. Dirtman's more my project, whereas Swamp is more Arthur's, I would say. Mm-hmm. But pretty different. Not as lyrically driven, but more just trying to write a short pop song.
Yeah.
Right.
So, the new stuff sounds good, so we're working on that.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, and Brett, also known as the Northwest Man, just completed a new EP, so we're going to be releasing
that today.
In a few days.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good. He's just a guy with a keyboard in Alabama.
And an incredible voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Northwest Man song that he performed when you were all here last year was just great.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to hear a exclusive new Dirtman song in a few
minutes.
Yeah,
we've
got
a new Dirtman song coming up whenever.
Yeah. And Tom, are you making any music right now? Can people look forward to anything from you?
Yes. My brother and I are knocking some things around.
Awesome.
I guess they'll be a little bit more surf rocky.
Oh, cool. Oh, wow.
And I have no idea when that'll be done. But expect like a 4-song thing in the next 0 to 4 years.
Nice.
One song per year.
Yeah.
Right.
Tom, I'd be interested to know if you have any questions for us.
Yeah.
I want to know what an Eldritch book is.
I want to know that too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Eldritch, I believe, is an adjective which describes something. It's almost a synonym with Lovecraftian, I suppose. It's just
arcane and
So you know, the Necronomicon of H.P. Lovecraft might be considered an Eldritch book. Lovecraft often used the phrase Eldritch horrors to describe some of his monsters. There you go.
Well, that clears up one thing. Now, is there any plans for like a illustrations or continuing in the Tom Stolinsky franchise?
Well, there is a music video in the works for the first song, which will be animated. So you'll get to sort of see what the characters look like and what the world is all about. In addition to that, I am sort of kicking around the beginnings of a comic book set in the same universe, many years prior to this story, which will be pretty strange. But it won't have Tom Stilwinski will not be featured in that one.
Maybe some ancestors.
Perhaps, yes. Yeah.
And we should say that you have some illustrations in the liner notes of the album that are really great. And
thank you.
The CD image and the cover and the back cover were done by the woman who did the covers for Whiskers. But I'm
correct.
Your name.
Yeah, well, I did the front cover, but sorry. I used her name is Hazel Santino. She's an artist living in New York City, and she did the artwork for the CD disc face and a sort of emblem. Like a cult emblem on the back cover. Hazel has been so instrumental in sort of our Whiskers releases that I knew she had to be part of this to sort of complete the Whiskers parody joke thing.
Do you have any more questions for them, Tom?
I think that I want to keep a lot of this mystery to myself.
Right.
I guess I just wanted to say that the album was in part intended to be sort of a prank on Tom, or sort of a parody of Whiskers, but more than that, I think it's an ode to our time in the Whiskers, and expressing the things we learned from being in that band, and just sort of trying to show that we could do it on our own and create something.
We don't need Tom.
Yeah, right. But also, hopefully, Tom, if you take anything away from it, I guess the most important thing I would hope would be that we want you to come back to music.
So people can check out that album by History and Civilization at the Great Black Swamp at Great Black Swamp. awkwardcore.com. Can check out all the Awkward Core releases at awkwardcore.com, including all the Whiskers albums. Correct? Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for talking with us today about the album. We're going to hear one more song from the album and then come back and talk a little bit about Dirtman and hear a new Dirtman song.
Sounds good.
Tom, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Yes.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, fellas.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
We're going to hear from Southington Yacht Club?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is from the album Tom Stilwinski, History and Civilization, The Great Black Swamp, with Southington Yacht Club.
Here to say, this young boy has come here to play. There's unrest in the yacht club today. When our cult convenes in an hour, we shall wake our Lord's awesome power with the blood of this boy, because
Was History and Civilization of the Great Black Swamp with the song Southington Yacht Club from their new album, Tom Stilinski. We have Arthur and Dan from Great Black Swamp here in the studio. And so we have an exclusive track from Dirtman to play here, Dan?
Yeah, it's called, it was called Ode to a Sky Captain, and now it's called List of Voids. Which was from a Wikipedia page, which is it's a list of voids, which is like some sort of galactic phenomenon. Mm. Or it's a part of space that has no stars in it. It's a void.
Oh, nice. Mm.
So it's just a cool phrase. But the song it doesn't really have to do with that, but it doesn't really have to do with anything. but yeah, it's a new song. We made an album last year, I guess, came out, and I think maybe a refinement of that sort of style of just a short, concise song with, you know, trying to get some melody, some catchiness. Mm-hmm. So, and for Dirtman mostly, it's I play a ukulele, like amplified, sort of in a rock format, like, you know, like it's a guitar, I guess. So that's maybe a defining feature of that project.
Yeah. Then I had drums and
Arthur drums
and some synths, maybe.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing this. I haven't heard it myself.
World exclusive.
Yeah, absolutely. So people can find out more information about Great Black Swamp, Dirtman, Whiskers, all everything we've been talking about today at awkwardcore.com. Mm-hmm. Arthur and Dan, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we've got CDs at Lakeshore Records and also at the Bop Shop, I believe.
Okay. Oh, yeah. At Lakeshore, you have to go off to the side of the counter. They're kind of tucked away.
Right.
But they're there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So here is Dirtman with List of Voids. Yeah.